morning, Your Honors. I may please the court. My name is Suare Kant. I represent Abdullahi Sule. Your Honor, we believe that Mr. Sule did not engage in terrorist activity and as such is not subject to removal from the United States. The evidence in this case, Your Honor, is not substantial, is not reasonable, and it compels a reversal of the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals.
But how can you say, I mean, you have a pretty hard standard of review. It's a substantial evidence standard of review. And there was evidence before the board to the effect that he was involved in the planning of taking this governor hostage for a while, and the definition of terrorism and substantial support is a very broad one in the statute. I think it certainly includes taking hostages. So how can we say that there was no way the board could have come to this conclusion?
Well, Your Honor, there was simply no evidence before the board that, in fact, part of the planning was, in fact, to take hostage the governor of one of the regional governors. In fact, was the evidence even
based... He was taken hostage.
Yes, he was. But
so Your Honor, just like all conspiracies, they don't nail down every detail, but the board did have evidence that this group of military officers in this area were going to resort to violence, mutiny, whatever you want to call it, and he was an organizer. He at the beginning is saying, I was one of the people in charge and so on, and you say, well, later on he has a different story, but the board's entitled to choose which of those accounts.
Your Honor, first of all, I think we have a definition of mutiny. I mean, this is a mutiny does not necessarily involve violence. All we have in that case...
But why does the board have to buy that? I understand that's a worldview that he says he's putting forward, but why does the board have to buy that, especially in light of the way things unfolded?
Well, Judge, the board is using a statutory scheme here to find Mr. Abdullahi Sule removable. As such, I think they have to make sure every word in the statute, every meaning in the statute has to be complied with. I don't think that's the case here. All we have here is the board relying on newspaper articles.
I want to back up, too, because I actually recall that the sworn statement, in fact, indicated that the planning included the idea that the governor and other officials would be seized.
My understanding of that statement was it was an after-the-fact statement. It says that the governor was arrested demanding some relief. But that was not part of the planning statement. That was not part of the plan.
His statement to the asylum officer was that he had instructed the soldiers to arrest the governor and the prefect.
Well, first thing we have to address is whether or not, in fact, the statements from the asylum officer can be used by this court. The immigration judge clearly excluded that evidence because the asylum officer was not present to be cross-examined. So I don't think the court can use that. We're not able to contest that statement before the immigration judge, Your Honor. And the other element of this case, Your Honor, is whether or not Mr. Abdullahi Sule is entitled to deferral of removal. And the Board of Immigration Appeals is saying that, in fact, his testimony was a chain of assumptions. Well, if you look at what the board used to find that he in fact engaged in terrorist activity, it was solely Mr. Sule's statement. There was no other independent evidence except what he said. So Mr. Sule did testify that, in fact, he would be killed. His family was in jeopardy. And he testified regarding...
I don't understand. The immigration judge said that the mutineers had been imprisoned.
Right.
And that he would have the same risk of
right.
being imprisoned. But imprisonment for violating a law, at least a law we would recognize as legitimate, law against mutiny and kidnapping, that's not torture.
Well,
it could be torture, but that would be separate from the mere fact of imprisonment.
Well, We have to look at this case from the context of the dictatorships in Africa. Mr. Sule was not present when all these things happened. The fact is, if he were to show up back in Niger, we are not sure that, in fact, he will encounter due process, because even the country reports that have been cited really talks about the deteriorating nature of the human rights record of the Niger government. So first, there has to be clear indications that he will receive due process. I don't think he will receive due process in this case.
But a lack of due process is not the same thing as torture. I mean, it's not good. I mean, nobody is applauding it, but the definition of torture for the Convention Against Torture is a much more stringent definition.
Right. But the State Department report indicates that, in fact, the security forces in Niger do torture prisoners. And this is something that happens consistently. In fact, from the 2000 report to the 2002 report to the 2007 report, all indicate that, in fact, torture of prisoners in Niger is a very recurring activity. So if we send...
But how many of these country reports were actually submitted to the in the proceeding? Was it just the 2002 report, or were there others?
That was a 2007 country report, written in 2008.
Was the 2007 report in the record also?
Yes, there was, Your Honor. There was a 2007 report that was done in 2008.
But does this mean that no person from Niger could be deported?
Well, yes, they can be deported. It depends on what they were deported. They are deported for. This case is an instance where he's been deported for alleged involvement in efforts to rebel against the government. And it is the same government that we have there today. So someone in Mr. Sule's position is definitely going to draw attention to the authorities in Niger. So this is not the garden variety kind of deportation.
But as I understand it, this mutiny in Diffa was a very minor event. I don't think anyone was hurt or anything. They just...
Was
it the sort of thing that the Niger government is still so angry at this fellow that they would not be content to imprison him for mutiny, but would actually torture him in the prison?
Well, Your Honor, for the government,
there's no discussion of this by the immigration judge, is it?
There was not, but I think the judge was looking at this from his experience, having gotten reports from all these African countries how they treat their deportees.
Well, right. No, that may well be true. It's just that he didn't say anything. He seemed to equate imprisonment to torture. There's a gap there in the analysis.
He did review the country reports, though, Your Honor, and also there was statement from the asylum officer, although I know the government extensively cited to that report, which the judge actually excluded from consideration, that in fact about 70 of the people who were arrested, 7 of them, or 10 of them were sentenced to 3 to 7 years imprisonment, but they never talked about what happened to the rest of them.
And now, what the board said was that the 2007 country report for Niger says that mutineers charged with crimes were receiving trials in accordance with law. Well, okay, but I don't see anything there. Does the 2007 report actually says that these mutineers were being tortured in prison?
Well, it doesn't discuss, the 2007 report did not discuss the 2002 mutineers, but it did talk about the actions of the security forces in Niger.
In general, you mean?
In general, Your Honor. And the conditions in the prison conditions in Niger are life-threatening.
Awful, yeah.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
No, I'm sure the conditions in the prisons are very bad.
They're pretty rough, Your Honor, particularly for someone who has been accused of trying to sabotage the government. I don't think it's a good place to send Mr. Abdullahi Sule. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Mr. Conte. Mr. Genser?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Lyle Genser. I represent the respondent, the Attorney General. With the assistance of counsel, Mr. Abdullahi filed an asylum application with which he submitted a sworn statement claiming that in July through August 2002, he had been a leader and organizer of a military mutiny in Diffa, Niger, and that in that capacity, he helped plan the abduction of the local governor and several other officials. I believe, Judge Tinder, I think you may have had a question as to whether he actually admitted planning the kidnapping in the original statement. In fact, he did at page 447.
And was that statement admitted at
yes.
before the IJ?
Yes, Your Honor. In his sworn statement, and that's the one that went with
it. Mr. Conte said that he had no chance to cross-examine the asylum officer about the accuracy of the report.
Which is true. But what I'm saying, Your Honor...
Should he have had an opportunity to cross-examine him?
Possibly, Your Honor, but what I'm saying is it's his sworn statement.
Language? I mean...
Well,
Abdullah, I presume he speaks French, I take it.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Was he interviewed by a French-speaking asylum officer?
He brought his own interpreter, a friend of his who was French-speaking. Yes, and the statement was read back to him in French. But, Your Honor, the confusion here, we're talking two different statements. He gave a sworn statement with his asylum application. In that sworn statement, he stated, around the time I left Niger, the planning I had done with the other organizers began to unfold. The prefect and six other officials were restrained to demand our rights for better living conditions. That's his sworn statement with his asylum application.
And is that part of the record?
That is part of the record.
And its authenticity is in question.
That is correct, Your Honor. What then happens, he testified, oh, that's not what I said, and it was an interpretation error. Late in the hearing, the ICE Council, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Council, brought forth the statement that was made to the asylum officer. Yes, it cannot be used as direct evidence. We concede that, Your Honor. But this is sort of like rule of evidence, Federal Rule of Evidence 613. Once he said, that's not what I stated, we bring in the second statement and say, wait a minute. Here's a statement that's exactly consistent with your sworn statement. And we know from the record, because he was confronted with this statement. He was allowed to talk about and answer questions about it. And the statement said it was sworn. It was done in French with his own interpreter. This is a different interpreter than who did the sworn statement with his asylum application. And yet in that statement, he very categorically states he was an organizer and planner of the mutiny. So it's very consistent with the sworn statement. Again, his explanation is translation errors. What we now have are two different interpreters, both speaking French, both of whom he brought, and both of them came out with the same statement of what he did. It's also important to note that his asylum application and when he was interviewed by the asylum officer, he was accompanied by counsel. And that's all on the record, Your Honor. So
about the Convention Against Torture issues. So, I mean, obviously conditions in Niger prisons are bad, but I don't think, the issue. But is there no evidence about their torturing these mutineers?
There is no evidence in the record whatsoever that says anybody that was in prison is tortured. There is a lot of evidence that says conditions are deplorable.
Right.
We agree with that. But as Your Honor has pointed out, that is not torture.
Right.
And, of course, the board indicated, yes, even though it's been 10 years, we believe he will be, that he might be tried. They're still going to be interested. But lawful sanctions for kidnapping...
I understand. I just wonder whether there was evidence.
The bottom line is the immigration judge made a leap. He found he would be imprisoned, and the board agreed with that, that there was a real possibility. And then he said, based on his fear, I believe he'll be tortured. The board found he did not meet his burden of proof, that there was nothing in the record that even vaguely corroborated that. I see that I'm out of time, subject to your further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So, Mr. Conte, your time is expired. If you have anything further?
Sure,
of course.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, with regard to the application that was filed in this case, it was filed a few months after Mr. Abdullahi Sule came into this country, and he brought in his own interpreter. Of course, things do happen in translation, but when he was in court, this was a certified court-appointed interpreter. He emphatically denied some of those statements that were attributed to him in the application. And in fact, he was not found to be credible. The judge did not make any adverse credibility determination regarding his testimony. He disavowed his statement, and this was before a certified court interpreter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel.